When the president signed the omnibus appropriations bill just before Christmas, he enacted a big boost in dollars going to several science agencies. The increase was even more than the Obama administration had asked for. For analysis of federal 2016 R&D spending, we turn to Matt Horahan, director of the R&D Budget and Policy Program at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Matt, good to have you on.
Thank you.
Tell us the scope of the increase that's happening in 2016. Is this good for R&D?
Sure. Well, overall, the omnibus package is very strong for federal R&D agencies. We currently estimate an increase of around 8% for federal R&D in FY 2016 under the omnibus. That's about $148 billion. Now, these are just estimates, and we're going to be revising them when the president's budget comes out next month. But for now, these look like some pretty major increases. Several science agencies have done very well in the omnibus, including NASA, NIH, some of the Department of Energy programs. So it looks very strong for most federal science agencies.
So this $148 billion or whatever it is, this up 8%, was that from an artificially low base because of sequestration and general stinginess over the last number of years?
Well, not exactly, because that's an increase above FY 2015 levels. Now, in FY 2015, of course, we did have the discretionary spending caps had been increased under a prior budget deal. So yes, I mean, certainly spending is not what it would have been if we hadn't had sequestration, if we hadn't had the Budget Control Act. But that's also, I mean, that does represent a pretty real increase. We're still probably below, you know, some agencies are still below where we would have been without sequestration. But in fact, quite a few agencies are now above their pre-sequestration spending levels under the omnibus.
And how does this all break down, say, civilian spending on R&D versus Defense Department?
So Department of Defense R&D did a little bit better, but civilian R&D did very well as well. The basic research would increase by about 5%. Non-defense R&D, so that includes most agencies people think of when they think of science agencies, your NIH, your Department of Energy, NSF, et cetera. Non-defense R&D overall increased by about 6.5%. Defense R&D increased by nearly 10%. So defense did a little bit better, but non-defense agencies did very well also.
And to what extent does this money go out as grants under the scientific agency, say under National Science Foundation, for example, versus how much is spent by government scientists themselves on their own projects?
Well, that varies agency to agency. So you mentioned NSF, NIH is another one. Both of these are very heavy in extramural research grants. On the other hand, you have agencies like the Agricultural Research Service at USDA. That's entirely an intramural research agency. You've also got, within USDA, a different agency, you've got the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, which is extramural. So it can vary agency by agency and even within departments. Both intramural and extramural agencies did very well in the omnibus package.
And those inside research, is there any mechanism by which the results of that research get out into industrial science or academic science?
Sure, yeah. I mean, so some of that research, it can be, some of that information, the results of that information can be circulated through publications, through interaction with industry, through formal partnerships, through conference activities. I mean, there are multiple channels through which federal scientists disseminate their findings out into the broader world.
So that is to say, then, that an increase in federal science spending is good for the whole economy, the whole academic and scientific economy, not just for federal programs directly.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I mean, there's a pretty long track record of federal science spending leading to advances that ultimately benefit the economy, benefit American well-being. And that's true both for intramural scientists, for government scientists in government labs, as well as the research that is funded by government but is performed in universities and elsewhere. It's a very complex system that we have through which federal dollars flow. But overall, it has had an extremely positive impact on the economy.
We're speaking with Matt Horahan, director of the R&D Budget and Policy Program at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. And what about the strategic offset that the Defense Department is pursuing, which would be both intramural and extramural research, also, you know, and especially done by industry to some extent? What do you see happening there with respect to the dollars that are available? Does this support that strategic offset?
One of the the challenges facing appropriators in the science community in this past appropriations cycle was a pretty large proposed cut, in fact, for basic research within the Department of Defense. The administration had proposed about an 8% cut to DoD basic research. Appropriators, in the end, in the omnibus, appropriators ended up turning away those cuts and gave basic research funding a small increase. But the bigger increases within DoD were downstream, for downstream technology development, for more systems engineering and in support of vehicles and communication systems and weapons platforms that are a little bit closer to, you know, being ready to be fielded. You know, items that are entering procurement, items that are that have already been fielded and need some additional work. So certainly the downstream defense technology activities have done better than research funding. But again, research funding within DoD ended up doing better than it could have under a different set of circumstances.
So most of their spending would be closer to the D part, where it gets almost into application and engineering as opposed to basic science.
That's right. That's correct.
What are the other scientific areas of emphasis that you see in the budget besides DoD-related items?
Well, one of the big areas for an increase was at NIH. Appropriators gave over $300 million to the National Institute on Aging for research into Alzheimer's disease. So that was a big gain. There were also some pretty large increases within the Department of Energy, including both fossil energy, nuclear energy, as well as efficiency and renewables. And this latter piece was actually one of the bigger surprises, because the administration has always been very much in support of low-carbon energy technology, especially efficiency and renewables. But this Congress hasn't always embraced those technology areas. In fact, the House was seeking some pretty steep cuts on those technologies. But in the end, the Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy ended up with an over 7% increase in the omnibus package. So that was a pretty big surprise.
And in those traditional forms of energy, the so-called carbon-burning ones, what are areas of research there that can be seen? I mean, what's left to research there, I guess, is what I'm asking.
A few areas regarding fossil energy that the Department of Energy funds for R&D. There are some efforts to make coal-burning turbines, natural gas turbines, cleaner, more efficient, trying to take the next step, technologically speaking, on the current generation of turbines. There's also a lot of work on carbon capture and sequestration. That's taking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and sequestering it in the ground. The administration has had a pretty strong interest in that area for some time. And there are also some other smaller programs dealing with unconventional fuels and that sort of thing.
And the final question I guess I would have is, do you see overall this increase in the R&D budget as something that might attract more young scientists to federal service as a result of the research programs being there?
Well, it might. It might. I mean, the challenge is really more long-term. We did manage to secure some pretty large increases in R&D for this year, and that's very much due to the budget deal that was reached earlier this fall. The problem is that deal, it only runs out after next year. And in FY 2017, we're looking at flat funding. Then beyond FY 2017, we're right back to that sequestration-level spending baseline. So even though the numbers look pretty good this year, there are still some challenges to go. And I think if we can address those long-term challenges, that's the kind of thing that will help younger scientists to gain an interest in the research field.
Any particular members of Congress that are kind of good to track and good to lean on for scientific spending?
Well, certainly there are. I mean, the most important group of members of Congress, of course, would be the cardinals who head up the appropriations subcommittees, and these would include people like John Culberson of Texas, who heads up the Commerce, Justice, Science subcommittee in the House. It would include Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, who heads up the Energy and Water subcommittee in the Senate. And there are many others as well, but certainly those folks are the most important in the process.
Matt Horahan is director of the R&D Budget and Policy Program at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.